This is Andrew Corbett, and we are again looking at the Bible study series, Building a Covenant Community. This is study number 13, Seek to Show Hospitality. Well, this is taken from Romans chapter 12, verse 13, the second part of verse 13 of the famous Romans 12 passage. Contribute to the needs of the saints, which we've looked at, and seek to show hospitality. So I've got a quote here from John Piper, and before I mention this again, I just want to remind you, if you are picking this study series up at this lesson, thank you and welcome. You are joining people all around Australia, New Zealand, across the United States of America, and England and Europe and South Africa, who are also doing this Bible study series on building a covenant community. One of the things that we want to encourage you to do is to actually build a covenant community, build a community. And one of the great ways to do that is to actually start the evening off, if you're meeting in an evening or an afternoon or even a morning, started off with some hospitality. Offer a cold or hot drink, maybe a bite to eat, something like that, so that you get the atmosphere set so that people can come in and freely chat and talk and catch up. And this is a great way for those perhaps who see each other on a Sunday across the church building but don't actually get into each other's space to be able to get to know each other a little bit better. It's amazing how a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and a cake, a slice, a biscuit can just get the conversation flowing. This quote from John Piper says this: practice hospitality. Why? This is a worship service, not a seminar on successful living. What does hospitality have to do with God? Well, if it doesn't have to do with God, it is simply of no interest in a church that aims to be God-centered and God-saturated. The mark of a God-besotted Christian is that you always answer the question why you do something by referring to God as we know him in Jesus Christ. Another way to put it would be, when we practice hospitality, we experience the thrill of feeling God's power conquer our fears and our stinginess and all the psychological gravity of our self-centeredness. And there are few joys, if any, greater than the joy of experiencing the liberating power of God's hospitality, making us new and radically different kind of people who love to reflect the glory of his grace as we extend it to others in all kinds of hospitality. And again, that quote comes from John Piper. If you've been into this study series and you're now up to study 13, it might be an ideal opportunity to ask someone to read out that first paragraph. Question one, the gospel empowers the believer with a new heart. Our old heart struggles to consider others. Ezekiel called it a heart of stone in Ezekiel 36:26, where, speaking of the new covenant, it says, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." When we receive this new heart from the Spirit, we care for others. This new ability to care was regarded as an evidence of genuine new birth by the early church. List the practical ways Paul told his readers how they could tell whether a widow was a true follower of Christ in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10. And I'm guessing that a widow is someone who perhaps might not be rich. They might not be of huge financial means. Therefore, these hallmarks are a greater indication of their commitment and devotion to Christ. But this is what 1 Timothy 5:10 says. "And having a good reputation for good works, if she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. And we note there, of course, that the hallmark of a godly widow was someone who has shown hospitality. And you notice that's all the while bringing up children. Someone, and as she has been someone who also washed the feet of the saints. In other words, cared for people in very practical ways and has cared for those less fortunate than herself and has devoted herself to every good work. So these are some of the hallmarks of a widow who in the early church, this was an issue. Of course, back in the days of the New Testament, the New Covenant being outlived and the New Testament being written, there was no social security. There was no state welfare or anything like that. The widows were often reliant upon their local church for some kind of support. Question two. Apparently, the writers of the New Testament were concerned that believers would lose their interest in showing hospitality. How do we know this? Based on Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. And what amazing motivation did they give to urge believers to keep showing hospitality? Hebrews 13, 2, I'll read verses 2 and 3, says this, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3, the next verse says this, "Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body." So I'll just add that extra verse just to give a little bit of context as well. But you notice there, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. And the amazing motivation there is, the writer to the Hebrews, whoever that is, almost certainly not Paul, says that by doing this, some have actually entertained angels without knowing it, without realizing it. These angelic manifestations occurred in the Old Testament where angels were given the capacity to eat food and enjoy the hospitality shown to them. So that would be amazing. That would be amazing motivation why believers in the first church should continue to show hospitality. Now, this is where I get a little bit personal. So let me share this personal aspect. When Kim and I were just Kim and Kim's husband, we were often invited over to other people's places to share a meal. When we had Tyrone, our firstborn son, the number of these invitations dropped off significantly. No offense to Tyrone, it was just the fact that it's difficult to take a young child out for dinner at someone's place, and it's difficult for them to host as well. Anyway, by the time we had four children, it became uncommon for us to be invited out at all. When we were renovating our old house, one of the things we insisted on was an outdoor entertainment area where we could host our large family with another large family. In the meantime, when Kim and I want to show hospitality to a large number of people, we have used our church building. Now, quite a few years ago, so this is back in the kind of the quote-unquote early days of taking on Lagana Church, Kim cooked and catered for 95 people when we put on a surprise lunch for those attending our church one Sunday morning. So that's not meant to be a brag, that's just meant to show that what I'm writing about and talking about here is something that actually means quite a lot to us. Question three. But it's not only those who don't get invited to others' places for a meal who might be tempted to sulk. What does 1 Peter 4:9 command? And 1 Peter 4:9 says this, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." So it's not just those who aren't getting invited out, who might, "Oh, I never get invited out," and grumble and complain. It's also those who are called to show hospitality. "Oh, why am I always the one cooking? Why am I always inviting people? Why am I?" And the Bible actually says here in 1 Peter 4:9, "Do this without grumbling." So that answers the question. What does it command? That we are to show hospitality regardless of whether we've been shown hospitality. We're not repaying hospitality. We're showing it, and we are to do it without grumbling. There's a challenge. The word Paul uses, which is translated as hospitality, is philoxenos. Philo, which means a kind and considerate love shown to others. And xenos is the Greek word for strangers or unfamiliar people. The hallmark of Christian maturity is not just how we treat each other, but how we treat people who are visiting and not likely to stay very long. Question 4. What is the link between hospitality and the spread of the gospel? Matthew 10, verses 11 to 13. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. Matthew 10:12. As you enter the house, greet it. And verse 13. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. So what's the link between hospitality and the spread of the gospel? Well, here we have the idea that those who are championing the gospel, perhaps the apostles in the immediate context, as they were shown hospitality in a particular house, they were to impart their blessing on that house. And if they weren't shown hospitality, they weren't to impart a blessing and they were to move on. So there is a link. Now, this might open up a discussion, by the way, about how we can use hospitality in our neighbourhoods, with our neighbours, with those in our church whom we are not yet familiar with. And this is a real challenge. Hospitality is a great hallmark of a strong church, as we'll see in a moment. We want our homes to be hospitable. We also want to make our spiritual home hospitable. By looking out for visitors, serving them, and inviting them back, this is how we do it. So that's how we do it. All growing churches are churches which reach out and are hospitable. So we want to make our spiritual home hospitable by looking out for visitors, serving them, and inviting them back. And perhaps that's the challenge that we take out of this study as we look at it. That we together don't want to be people who whinge and grumble and complain that we hardly get invited out. 1 Peter 4:9 puts the onus back on us. Well, let's invite others. Let's show hospitality without grumbling. I think it's one of the hallmarks of a growing church. It's one of the indicators of a growing church, and it's one of the ways a church can grow. So hospitality is a really, really critical thing. Well, we'll be back for our next study, study 14, as we look at bless those who persecute you. And as you finish your study session, I encourage you, the prayer requests that you received, hopefully at the start of your studies, you went around, it encourages people to share a little bit about their story, a little bit about their life. As you go around the group and ask two questions, what's one thing you're thankful for and what's one thing you would like prayer for? And as you jot down those prayer requests and the person associated with it, start on your left and go around the group and finish with yourself and have one person pray for one other person based on the prayer needs that they've heard that night. By doing this, you are showing hospitality and you're showing care and you're building a covenant community of believers. I'm Andrew Corbett. I look forward to catching up with you again in our next leader training session, study number 14.